All right, in the time that we have remaining, I want to draw your attention tonight to Psalm 145. On Wednesday nights over the past several weeks, we've been touching on some thoughts relative to don't waste your summer. As I said, I had an email this afternoon with Brother Randy, and he was remarking about how they've been teaching their children at home about the greatness of God found in nature through storms, through the ocean that surrounds their tiny little island out in the middle of the Atlantic, and remarking about the greatness of God and the vastness of God and how they wanted to communicate that to their children. And I say, well, amen to that, because we're seeking to do that here at Grace Bible Church with our children, to bring them to a clear consciousness of God. If there's anything that's been forgotten by our generation today, especially the young people, is that God is everywhere. God sees you. When you sneak off by yourself somewhere, God's there. He's seeing everything. But there's not this consciousness of God's presence and knowing. I think that we've failed in many ways in our churches to communicate the idea of fearing God. We've been telling them, oh, don't be afraid of God, you know, and that what they're doing is they diminish what we really need, the kind of fear we ought to have. We don't have a terror-stricken type fear that we're afraid to speak to Him, but rather a healthy, awesome understanding of who God is, and that He is great. He made me, and therefore He has claims on my life. God has claims on your life, young person. That may be a newsflash to you, but you're not in charge of yourself. God is. And God can take you out anytime He pleases. We see what seems to us as random things happen. A man that visited our ballpark on a regular basis died last week. He was in high school with my uncle. They found him out at Lundy's blueberry farm. He was out picking blueberries. Got hit by what we would call a random bolt of lightning. They found his body. He was dead. 72 years of age, but a man who was a regular out here at our ballpark. And all you can say in those moments is it was his time. It was his time. I think about a young man that we had in our school here for a few years, and he left to go play basketball at another public high school. And he was laying at home in his bed watching a basketball game, and a car comes through the roof, lands on top of him, and kills him. Now that car jettisoned from Alabama Street over a house, landing through the roof into his bedroom, killing him right after his little brother had walked out of the room. Now, those are moments in time that are teaching moments. It was his time. And young person, you're not in charge of your time. God is. You had nothing to do with your hair color. You had nothing to do with the shape of your body. You had nothing to do with the color of your eyes. You didn't choose that. You didn't pick that. There are people that go around trying to change everything that God made them to be, but down deep, you're still the same person. God made you that way. And you had nothing to do with it. And Hollywood and our culture today is teaching, well, if you don't like the way you are, you just change the way you are and you can be different and look like this. And what they end up doing is marring and scarring these people that have endless facelifts, and they are the ugliest things. They showed one male actor, I don't know who it was, they were showing, says, you want to see a bad face job? And they showed him, and it was sickening to see that. And that's what he got for his thousands of dollars of wanting to be younger looking. And he didn't look younger. He looked like something that was, you know, hatched in a Frankenstein movie. It was awful. And that's what he got for his money, because he didn't like what he saw in the mirror. Listen, we need to bow before God's greatness. And we need to realize just how small and insignificant we really are. Yet, He chose to love us in Jesus Christ. Now that's an eye-opening fact that we need to meditate on and spend our time thinking of. Now, we began this series as a reminder that as parents, We have a job. I want you to notice this, please, in verse 1 of Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Are you seeing a picture here of what you and I are to be doing? We get up in the morning and we're tired and grumpy, and we go in there and we fix our bowl of cereal and we spill the milk and run. We go off to work mean and grouchy and grumpy and so forth like that. Stop. Just stop. You know what we need to be doing? We need to think that we could put our feet on the floor. That we didn't have to call 911 in the middle of the night. That God kept us safe during the night. You know, it's an amazing thing when you meditate upon the Lord, how it changes you immediately from self to Him. Verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Boy, that's a powerful word, great. That's what we always say. Boy, did you see that soccer play? That was great. Or did you see that baseball home run? That was great. No, it wasn't. God is great. You have to think about your words. We put great to mediocre and beneath mediocre. But when you put it with God, it's right. It says what needs to be said. Verse 4. One generation, now this is what parents' responsibility is for their children. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Notice how many times the word great or greatness is used in the first 7 verses. Speaking of our Lord, we need to, as parents and as church family members here, to esteem the greatness of our God. We need to verbalize it. We need to practice it in the way that we live. Whenever things come up, like playing the piano for church and nerves come on, I pulled my daughter aside tonight. I said, "You're nervous, aren't you?" "Yes, sir." She was talking 90 miles an hour and all nervous and everything. And I said, "You stop right now and you pray. And you ask the Lord to just settle things down, so you can do what God wants you to do tonight, and that's to use the talents that He gave you to play the piano. Will you make mistakes? Maybe. What do? You keep on going." So the Bible says, make a joyful noise. I'm glad He didn't say make perfect, absolute perfect melody in everything that you do. We'd be missing the mark all the time. I've heard some of you sing. And you've heard me sing. Whenever I sing, I understand, you know, we make a joyful noise, you know. I appreciate it, Brother Cornelius. He said, "We appreciate your specials at your church. We've got young people singing. We've got piano playing. We've got instrumental playing, you know. And sometimes there's a screech here and a honk there that doesn't come out quite right. But you know what? Now get this, please. Don't miss the blessing. Don't critique it to death where you miss the blessing. All right? You just sing along with it and enjoy it and be meditating on the Lord. Some people are meditating on the music and not meditating on the Lord. Shame on you. Now, I understand that we ought to be doing the right kind of music. Don't misunderstand me. But sometimes you can go, "Oh, that was absolutely awful." Well, you know what? You ought to go to some of these back where Roger and Eva were telling me about a church they visited some time ago, and boy, there was some screeching and different things, and they were even asking them to maybe help out with the music. Well, that's fine. Sometimes that happens. Beth and I, some years ago, we visited a church up in Gunnersville, Alabama. Now, you talk about backwoods. Lake Gunnersville is a beautiful lake, but it's backwoods people all the way. We went to church, and there were people missing their teeth. And we went into that church, a very simple church. Didn't have a piano player, but the guy got up, did the best he could, and we sang along with the hymns. And it was a blessing. Simple. There wasn't anything elaborate. There wasn't organs playing and pianos playing. It was just God's people singing the hymns out of the hymn book. It blessed my heart. And it ought to bless our hearts too. We need to enter our minds into the greatness of God in the hymns that we sing. rather than just critiquing it all to death. And we can all be guilty of that. Now, we talked about last time that creation and God's purposes, the three ways to show our families God's glory. Number one, creation and God's purposes. The universe does not just display intelligent design. Now, I want to emphasize this. We did this last time, but I want to emphasize this. God's creation just does not, it doesn't just show intelligent design. It shows God's purposes. Now, let's put it that way. God has a purpose for everything in His generation. Everybody say, well, obviously there's no purpose for the appendix. Really? How do you know? Well, I learned in biology class that there's no use for the appendix. Well, God had a purpose for it. We may not know what it was for. I've heard that about tonsils, you know. Tonsils don't have a purpose. Whenever we were growing up in the 60s, they took everybody's tonsils out. You brought your pet in and you had the pet's tonsils taken out. Everybody had to do that. But you know what they're saying now? Don't take them out. Don't take them out. Now, my daughter had to have hers taken out. But I think the boys still have theirs. I'm not sure who has tonsils and who doesn't. But, you know, they don't do that anymore. Why? They learned something, that the tonsils have a purpose that they said that they didn't have before. Now they realize it does have a purpose in the immune system of the body. Everything that God has created as a purpose and a function in the earth, even though it has been spoiled to a certain degree by sin's curse. Listen to this verse, Psalm 19 and verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His what? Handiwork. You know what that word handiwork is? Literally, craftsmanship. Oh, craftsmanship. We learned the history of this piano over here. Now, this is human craftsmanship. And there are problems and things that happen with human craftsmanship over a period of time. Things begin to break down. But you know what? God has shown forth His craftsmanship in everything in this universe, and we need to be teaching our children about that and what the purposes are. So it's very important. In this day and age, everything is random. Have you noticed that? Kids do random things. They just go do something wild and crazy, and you pull them aside and say, what in the world did you do that for? I don't know why I did that. You know? And sometimes people get hurt in the random thing that you do. Sometimes people just look and say, how could a person be so stupid? Why did they do that? Because we live in the world of random. And so, you know what they do? The world of random becomes something that we want to make a show out of. And so our television screens are full of random stupidity. And everybody sits back laughing at that. And it's just stupid. There's no purpose behind it. There's no thought behind it. And you know what happens to us? We get desensitized to stupid. And instead of saying, you know what, that is just absolutely stupid. I can't even believe I even saw that. And turn the channel. We sit there and staring at it. And then it becomes part of our heart. It's important that we understand that God has a purpose in creation. And everything is to working together for His common purpose. Do you understand and know that everything that's happening, what we are calling chaos in the world, is all part of God's plan to reveal the Antichrist, who is going to be the stabilizer of nations? And they're going to look at him and say, finally, a leader we can follow! Boy, it's chaos over in Iraq right now. Chaos over in the Ukraine, Russia. Go to Saudi Arabia. All those nations that are just loaded with chaos. We're becoming very chaotic in the United States of America. It's shaping up for the revelation of the world leader that everyone will turn to, and a false prophet will declare his glory and his greatness for all to worship. Right? And what will the world do? It will fall right in line to worship the Antichrist, who will be none other than the devil's tool to try to overthrow God. What a foolish notion. But that's what he's going to try to do, and the whole world will be there to help. Isn't that sad? You know, I'm grieved every year when we host a tournament or whatever at people's behavior. It just seems like today that people don't know how to behave. They don't know how to handle situations. Why is that? They've never been taught the greatness of God. They've never been taught to fear God. So self-control and self-governance is not important. The Bible is all about self-governance. It's about putting self under. What did Paul say? I keep my body under. That's a biblical principle. It's a truth that used to be instilled in boys and girls all across America, but not anymore. It's chaos. Chaos everywhere. But you know what? God is still great and He has a purpose and He is bringing everything to a head. Everything to a head. And praise be to the Lord, we're going to be taken out of this. We're going to get to be with Him and then we're going to see what heaven is like and how things work. Everything in heaven works according to His plan. There are no glitches. There's no computer things. We had a squirrel that committed suicide down the street this week. We had a power surge that took out our network system in the office, took out two computer cards on our phone system, and so we've spent 2 days scrambling, trying to put things together. Thankfully, Gulf Power got our power restored so we could be able to continue on and have air conditioning. You know what it's like without air conditioning with all these kids on campus? Well, the Lord was good. Let us get back to business after a couple of days off. Glitches all the time. Yesterday, I was headed home. Said, I got to go home and get changed and get back up here. As I was pulling across the road out there, my truck started shaking, hopping, and quit. I tried to start it. It started just barely rumbling. And so I said, Lord, you got to help me get to the fence. So we made it. I made it all the way down. I had to glide because it shut off, parked it there. And so I went and changed, and I walked up to the mall last night. And so this morning, we towed the truck up here, and I said, Bob, let's go to work on this thing. And found out it was the fuel pump in it had gone out. And all I could say to myself, I said, Lord, I'm so thankful that it happened on campus. I could have been downtown picking up uniforms when it happened for the team. But he allowed it to happen right here on campus and allowed me to get right down there to the Whitney's house and park it. Be able to walk to the house, walk back up here. And I just thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You are so great and wonderful. You're in charge of things I have no control over. And Bob was able to get it fixed and back on the road in just a few hours. Had to take the whole top of the back off of the truck to be able to get to the tank. But the Lord was good. He has a way of undertaking for His children in ways we don't even think about. I think about Brother Mike Kuchar. He went in for a routine procedure and they found some things that could have been very serious. Brought to their attention. Who brought that to their attention? God did. I don't think there's any question. God was taking care of His servant. I thank the Lord for that. And I know Brother Mike, I know Gloria does too. Though she's had to tie a string onto him to keep him under control. But listen, folks, we've got to make much of the greatness of God and we're just not doing it today. In our churches, we're making much about the greatness of ourselves. Every time a rock group goes up in front of a church, it's all about us. All about our feelings and stuff. It's not about God. The greatness of God needs to be communicated. And secondly, and I'm just going to mention this, secondly, we need to use the crises that we see in nature to illustrate God's purposes. I'll never forget, and I'll close with this. Gregory was very small. We had him for 4 years before the next one came along. And we were watching Animal Planet. And they used to have dangerous animals, 7 o'clock on Animal Planet. So we were watching dangerous animals. And we were watching little gazelle bounding. You know how the little bitty thing was just bounding along, and all of a sudden a lion came out of there. I didn't know, you know, what was going to happen. And it came out there, and Gregory started crying. And he said, Daddy, that mean lion just killed that little bitty deer. Okay, it was a little bitty deer. It was a gazelle. And I said, now a lot of parents would have rushed over, turned off the TV. Oh, violence. And I said, well, you know what? God put that in that lion after the curse came. Now, before that, what did lions eat? They had a vegetarian diet. But when the fall came and sin entered into the world, lions started lacking meat. That's a result of the fall, the curse, consequence. That little gazelle had no idea that morning when he got up that he was going to be somebody else's dinner. That's played out all through nature. And we can learn something from that and teach our young people. If you run away from God, you'll be eaten. You'll be eaten by the curse of sin. And you'll go to a devil's hell. Not much teaching on that anymore. But I'm telling you, children and young people, if you run away from God and you don't trust in Him, you will die in a devil's hell for all eternity. Where the worm dieth not, the Bible says. And yes, I still believe that's in the Bible. I know we've got a lot of theologians today in our so-called seminaries that are teaching, oh, annihilationism. Such a foolish notion that God would punish people for all eternity. Listen, it's the result of the condemnation. Refusing to obey God. So we need to get back to these things, and we need to teach when we see those things in nature. We've seen, you know, bad things happen. People's heads getting cut off in Iraq, and some of those pictures posted where people see that, and we see the overflowing of the iniquity of the human heart. We need to use that as teachable moments. This is what happens when people reject the true and living God and substitute another God. A God of wickedness and corruption. That's what happens. And we see that played out every day, and we need to be teaching our young people to fear God and to keep His commandments. That's what the whole duty of man is, we're told in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Fear God and keep His commandments. You want to be set in right stead in this world? You fear God and keep His commandments. And we can learn that from nature as it's played out before us. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for the Word of God. Lord, may we extol Thee and Thy greatness every day. Forgive us, Father, for being so self-centered. We go through our days so many times overwhelmed by the schedule, overwhelmed by the labors of the day. We run home, plop ourselves down in a chair, and that's how the day ends so many times without any focus upon Thy greatness and upon Thy goodness. Lord, help us to be a people quick to honor Thee, not just with our lips, but with our lives. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.